the talks, right? Like the talks out there is like, hey, this Bitcoin thing, nobody can shut it down. So like, maybe you should probably look and getting some, right? It's like the same, it's just a game theory. It's the game theory that everybody, people have been talking about for a number of years. If you look at like Nakamoto Institute, like all the archives there of like writings and stuff like that, like Bitcoin talk forums and everything, people were talking about this happening. And well, it's actually happening now. Like
we were talking about it on Clubhouse just back in 2021, and everybody was calling us crazy. They're like, "Oh yeah, it's not going to happen." It's like you don't understand human incentives or game theory, like at all.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely. I still feel like we're at the gradually, but like it's about to be suddenly, and it's like it's right around the corner. And when you start,
you're saying it's
about,
like a little, just like. Flat, but it's about to,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Real,
like it's the blue pill's about to kick in.
Six to midnight.
The orange pill.
Yeah, you might be right.
So I mean, for those who aren't aware that are tuning in early, this is why you should tune in early. We had Lawrence Lepard on the BV Spaces on Monday, and he basically what he said is he had a friend who said that this Saudis and the Abu Dhabis had reached out to the Trump administration because they want to announce that they're releasing a strategic Bitcoin reserve. But they don't want to announce it until Trump announces it first. And so one, that's huge news. Like these big oil companies or countries are now saying like, yeah, this is how big and serious Bitcoin is. Like we need to start saving in this. But two, that they could just, nothing's stopping them from announcing it, but the fact that they would reach out to the incoming Trump administration and kind of ask permission or see how they would like things to play out, because in my analysis is that they look at him like a very good businessman and they don't want it like, hey, what are your plans? How's the best way to approach this? Because we don't necessarily know what your game is, so we don't want to front run you. And so it just says a lot about, I think, the direction that we're going to be going in, not just nationally, but globally, how people kind of view the shift from Biden to Trump. Like, whether they like him or not, it's clearly a different person and personality that they're dealing with.
But then, I think they're also trying to protect themselves, too, because, right, because Saudi Arabia relies a lot of on our defense contracts and everything to kind of protect their royal family in that area. Because if I'm not mistaken, I don't even come close to being an amateur understander of the Middle East politics. But from my understanding is that Saudi Arabia and like Israel and Iran, none of those three get along at all.
So it's interesting. Over the past few years, Israel and Saudi Arabia have actually established pretty good ties.
Okay. That continues to make more sense then.
Yeah. The prince reached out probably somewhere back around, I think it was 2016, 2017 to Israel. And at that time, you know, things weren't great between the two. But now they obviously have some communication, and it's interesting, you know, how that plays out. Obviously, Saudi Arabia and Israel, you know, share Iran as, you know, a common threat in the region. And, you know, with the U.S. so deeply in Israeli pockets, or I should say them in our pockets, whatever, that's one of those things where, you know, that relationship that we've had with Saudi Arabia, you know, you start to go, okay, well, you've got all three of these organizations that can't get rid of Israel, right? Like they're sitting there with
it's a trilingual Dutch rudder.
Yeah, and somebody quote that. But
yeah, clip that, please.
Yeah, it's a mess. And the thing is obviously with a greater Israel project and operations that are going on, it does make sense, because even, you know, a good bit of northern Saudi Arabia is included in the greater Israel project.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Well, should we kick this pig?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oink, oink.
Oink, oink. Hold on to your butts. let's go, man. 100 people already signed in. We just started this thing. This is Bitcoin Veterans. It is 2025. Man, we getting off to a great start. I'm joined by Mike Hobart, and Jordan is back. And we also have Average Gary here tonight. It is going to be, I think, a kick-ass fun show. There's so much happening in the world. But Bitcoin Veterans was established to help veterans understand Bitcoin. It has grown into so much more than that now. We had this passion, you know, once upon a time as guys that signed our lives away to the United States government that, you know, we believed in these things called freedom and liberty and freedom of speech and the right to redress your government and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all these things. And maybe some of you saw behind the curtain just like we did and said, man, those guys are full of shit. And, you know, kind of checked out. Well, this is your re-engagement call. Bitcoin is here. It is freedom tech. It is freedom money. It's all about independence. It's peer-to-peer. This is a organization, bitcoinveterans.org. If you want to join us, it doesn't matter if you're a civilian, you can join up. We've got a ton of different groups going. It's completely decentralized. So if you're interested in homesteading, homeschooling, getting off the grid, survival, citadels, you name it, finding a job in the Bitcoin space, PTSD treatment and management and all that, anything you could possibly think of around this topic, Noster, yeah,
radios,
pew-pews, radios. Oh, thank you, Gary. What else are we into, guys? Like, what am I?
Pilot. We got a health and fitness chat.
Yeah,
we got a self-custody, like a privacy self-custody chat that's just like constantly blowing up. People talking about like, hey, I'm trying to do this. Hey, I'm trying to learn that. Like, you know, trade-offs here, discussions, running a lightning nodes, and everything like that. Technical education,
and then all the different regions of the country. So, like, we've got like 30 different conversations going at any one time.
Pleb mining. Yeah. Shout out to Dr. Nikamoto in the zap.stream chat, which, by the way, if you haven't checked out zap.stream, bitcoinveterans.org/zap will take you to the stream. There's a live chat there. That's the only chat I'm paying attention to because Twitter and YouTube is for gay retards. So zap.stream, check it out. You don't even need an account. You can go there and just watch and chat, BS, spin up a new account. But we'll get into a little bit more what that
is. And retards. See you later, YouTube. And fuck you. It's 2025.
And welcome, veterans.
Yeah.
Retards.
Grab your favorite colored crayon to eat. And
just get ready to be warmed up. Yeah. So bitcoinveterans.org. You can sign up for anything over there, and we'll get you plugged in. Gary is one of the guys that helps us filter and I guess kind of go through the enlistees over here. But guys, 2025 is not doing anybody any favors so far. It's one of those years. I think 2024 was just kind of our warm-up, and 2025 kickoff was just like, oh shit, here we go. I don't want to get into like the UAPs or any of that kind of stuff tonight. One of the things that we kind of advertised was that we were going to talk about some Noster, which I think Zapstream will help us do here in a second. But one of the things that we were talking about in the chats over the break was the fact that Elon is changing his algorithm. And, you know, when he said it, it was like, oh, hey, you know, we're going to start algorithm, you know, the positivity is going to get a boost.
Promoting positivity.
Yeah, positivity, guys. Right after.
Positivity is not subjective, is it?
Well,
I don't think it is. That's the point, right?
This is the same guy that like 2 days prior in a manic episode told everybody who disagreed with him about the H-1B visas that they should go and fuck their face. So I'm positive.
I've tried to do that. You can't. Like, it doesn't work. Like,
well, you like Marilyn Manson, you got to remove that rib, right?
Yeah,
like,
they wouldn't do that for me on deployment. It was the only time I tried.
I call bullshit. It wasn't the only time you tried.
Yeah, Navy medicine isn't what it used to be, apparently.
Can neither confirm nor deny. That's what the mustache brush means.
That's right.
But I mean, I feel like for anybody that's like been listening and paying attention, especially if you've ever talked to Gary for more than 2 seconds, realize like, yeah, Elon bought Twitter and he like fixed it a little bit. There were still some stupid things that you couldn't say or do. And it's not what it's not the freedom platform that he claims it is. It might suit your policy objectives a little more now than it did, but it's not freedom tech. And that's the beauty of Nostrilist.
Well, what's the thing? It's like freedom of speech, not freedom of reach, is like the whole thing. It's like, well, that's fucking censorship, dude.
Yeah.
If you're not letting my message get out there, you might as well.
You can say whatever you want, but I don't have to show it to anybody. Okay, then that's the same thing.
Yeah. So.
Well, and the the big thing for me was I didn't really even think about it this way. I got to give credit to this. I want to puke with who I'm giving credit to, but. One of the hosts of Mario Knopfall's Spaces, Dr. Danish, he actually had a really good take on it. I was listening the other day while I was getting stuff done around the house, and he was like, wait, so you're suppressing the negative side of the conversation when Elon first, like, let me also add, like, very clearly the people that were not paying attention that have been kind of pedestalizing and getting their knee pads out for Elon, like, he played politics against everybody. That's what he did. That's why we're now seeing it like play out. But this take that Dr. Danish had was like Elon and the MAGA group and like Trump's political campaign and particularly Twitter, now that it's like the top mobile app in almost 100 countries now, I think, utilize this kind of like being on the negative side of the conversation to gather all this momentum and this support in order to get to the position that they're at now. And now he wants to turn around and start suppressing that side of the conversation. It's like, dude, you're doing exactly what Twitter was doing when you were bitching about it before you bought it. Like, how do you not realize this?
You can come in and say you're the free speech hero here and you get the Twitter files, right? Like Twitter files, like still legit. Like there was government collusion to censor certain speech. It's just, it's a different story with a different person centering the speech now. It's like, okay, now it's a private company owned by this dude. And you know, you want to be like a diehard free market person. It's like, oh, it's a private company. Do what you want. Exactly. But guess what? Go fuck yourself, Elon, because we don't have an alternative algorithms.
Yeah. And there's definitely some hidden agenda here, right? So, you know, he wants this to be the everything app. Like he wants to do automatic settlements and payments and all that kind of stuff. He wants to be able to supply you with goods and services like Amazon. I imagine that's why he's, you know, cuddling up to Jeff Bezos and everything. But, you know, when you start to boil that down and you start to go, okay, well, what does he have to do in order to become a settlement layer or somebody who's going to be in transaction with banks? Now you're talking about all the different legislation that's already on the books that he has to comply with in terms of basically invading your privacy and going out there and making sure that he's in line with the banking industry and the SEC and the rest of these organizations that will come down on him hard. And if you don't understand who runs that, let me show you, you know, a nice quick graphic. This is Jonathan Greenblatt. He is the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League. If you guys know who these guys work for, it's real cut and clear, you know, what's going on. And he said, you know, it's basically the same tweet that we heard earlier. This isn't hard. Freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom of reach. Literally, Elon retweets that, you know, later in the same year. And you're like, dude, this is... we've said this for a while that X is a honeypot. And if anybody out there doesn't think it is, like they want you saying all these things. They want to know who you really are and what you really think. Right. And like, Mike, you alluded to it earlier, like that negativity was a really powerful thing for a Donald Trump candidacy. Right. And now that they've got their guy installed, and they're going, hey, you know what? Maybe we're thinking of, you know, doing something a little bit differently. Well, let's shut down that negativity. Let's shut down the negativity that got this guy here in the first place, where he was hearing from the people and he used those people to get elected. And now those people are what, relegated and irrelevant. It's just, this is the playbook, you know, and par for the course.
There's a couple of things here. It's like Twitter is like one of the biggest AI data sets that you could want, right? Like all this engagement back and forth, all that huge, worth the whatever the price that he paid, $44 billion or whatever it was that Elon paid, totally worth it. Who's Elon's like bedfellows, right? PayPal Mafia. What else are they running?
Palantir.
Palantir. Yeah.
Boom. right? Like, what do you need? What do you need to do that? You need a captured platform that, by the way, everybody with a blue check,
Palantir,
paying for all of the CPU cycles and GPU cycles to train these AI models, right? So like, good job. Keep paying Elon for that blue check, right? Keep doing that so he can train the data to feed to whatever models he needs. I mean, Grok's probably cool, right? I've seen the Alchemy. I don't know. I haven't used that. I don't use that platform anymore. But it's, I mean, it makes sense, like rationally, right? If you're Elon, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Let's use it.
Yeah. The thing is people aren't, this isn't like a new concept. This has been happening all throughout history. Old media is dying. What's the new media? If I'm in a position to own and control that, to put out my own messaging, create my own intel network on top of that, information is in data is the new oil. Like, that is where the money and value is right now.
We need to stop relying on heroes of individual rights and realize the individual is the only one truly able to protect these rights. Rights are taken and defended. I added that last part, but
I'm going to add a little bit of my own flavor to this conversation, make it a little bit spicier. I personally think that, we're going to get a little bit biblical here, but I personally think that Elon's going to actually end up being like the Antichrist type archetype. I think that his Neuralink is going to end up being the mark of the beast, because like you look at, I've talked about it before. You look at the whole ecosystem of things that he's involved in, particularly Neuralink, the whole Twitter sphere, using Twitter to train the AI, get the AI tied into Neuralink. And then he also has SpaceX, which is a massive data set as well as connectivity between Neuralink and Twitter and AI and all this other stuff. Like, it's like you guys, that is a significant number of threat vectors coming from one singular person who gets unhinged off of one H1B discussion topic that gets proven to be like actually problematic. Like, it's, and like, then like, if he does actually make X into a everything app where he has access into banking and funding and all this other stuff, like you're looking at a China-esque like CCP level of control that has global reach. Like, that's scary.
That's a beautiful doom pill from the doom lord himself. But what are we to do about it, Mike? What can we do?
Well, Nostr would be a great way to start, in my opinion.
Like, I don't even know. What is, you guys keep using this word Nostr. What is Nostr?
I think our mustachioed friend here should probably talk about that.
Yeah. So Nostr, I mean, it's an acronym, first of all. NOSTR, notes and other stuff transmitted by relay. And it's pretty simple. Like, you own your data, you own your profile. It goes with you wherever you want. And it's like, it's sort of a, not to get too technical, but it flips it on its head, where you have smart clients, like these smart apps, we'll call them, and then dumb relays, right? And so like, you throw all your data up on these relays.
Time out.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm out.
Yeah, you can out a little too hard, Gary.
I love you to death, Gary, but holy fuck. Like, just, he's just like, I've been wanting to talk about Nostr for fucking a couple of years now.
Work on your elevator pitch.
Yeah, I was going to say, for anybody who's new to Bitcoin and to Nostr, the underlying principle in all of this is decentralized freedom tech, right? Like, this is immutable, uncensorable. You own it. It's yours. Nobody at like Twitter, there's nobody at Primal. This is, we're running a code. They're running on different servers. Nobody can take this down. This is permanent. This is yours. It is absolutely uncensorable and immutable. It's decentralized free speech. And that's the upfront. So, okay. Now that we've like given,
let me try that one again.
All of our crayon eater buddies out here that are not, you know, super duper mega brains. Now let's talk about this. And if you want me to do anything, you know, and kind of go through this, by all means, let me know, Gary.
No, you have a great example. So Primal.net's a great example. If you're on an iPhone, there's the Damus client, Damus, right? And then on Android, there's also the Amethyst client, Amethyst.
Why do you need those instead of just logging into Nostr, Gary?
Well, that's because your profile is actually a public key, right? So it's this thing called an NPUB, but your profile is yours and you can take it to any app that you want. And it's the same content. It's the same followers. It's the same everything, right? Like you can run your own node for it too, to back up all your data, right? So your data is yours on Noster, right? And you're free to do with it what you please. If you're on Twitter or X or whatever, like I recall before I left, I like did a backup, but I had to go into some like deep setting within Twitter and be like, hey, can you please send me all my data? And then I had to like wait for them to do that. And that's fine. But like, what happens if they don't send it to me? Or what happens if I say bad things about H1B or whatever, right? And like, I get like my account suspended and I can't log in anymore. You know what I mean? Now I can't even post anymore. But with Noster, for instance, let's just say the guy that makes Primal, he ends up like hating Shane for whatever reason. He hates Shane's beard. He wishes he'd go back to the clean shaven bald guy.
Clean shaven. Jesus.
And so he filters out and censors all of Shane's content. Well, Shane can just say, hey, don't use Primal when you want to look at my content. Go to, you know, iris.to or go to coracle.social or go to a million of these other like Noster apps, and you can still find the content. And one of the other things that's like more, you know, powerful is go to bitcoinveterans.org/zap, Z-A-P. And there you'll see a streaming platform, just like a Twitch, where you can see the live stream that we're on right now. You gotta put a /zap at the end. In this same profile.
Hey.
Look at that,
guys.
But the same profile that Shane is using on Primal is the same profile that he can use here on zap.stream, right? And so it's like if you had the same account across all these different apps and all your followers, like you only have to follow.
It'd be like having the same followers on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything. They just
instead of me
and no login. That's the big one, right? Like one of the big ones for me is like no login. You don't have to create a new login for a new website. Use your
email. It's just your profile's login.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And it's, again, I'll try not to get too, but it's like, these are like cryptographically signed notes. So when I see your note, Shane, when I go to, you know, my Primal or Domus or Amethyst or whatever, when I go check that out, the app is checking the digital signature on there to verify that your keys signed it, right? So very similar to Bitcoin, right? Where there's these public private keys and we like sign transactions. In Noster, you're signing these events. What that means is if in person I've gone to Shane and I'm like, hey, let me get your public key. And I see that NPUB right there. And I verify, I know that's him. Everything that I see that's signed for that public key, I can know as long as I can know that he has not had his keys compromised somehow, I can know that that was like authentically him, right? And this is not like a new idea, right? Like nerds have been trying to do this like whole like network of keys for a long, long time. We just got into this huge network of keys on Noster by just like shitposting memes, right? And that's the great thing about Noster is like nobody's gonna take down your memes if they're like super edgy. Like if you want to come be super edgelord on Noster, that's fine. You can mute people, right? If I don't want to see your stuff, I'll just filter your stuff out. But I can't block you. That's the other thing is, you know, all the reply guys out there that want to go in and like reply everybody, you can do that all day in Noster. Nobody can block you. I can just not see you, but everybody else will see that you're replying to me, right?
It's truly free speech that way.
Truly.
Yeah, so which is the beautiful part.
Yeah, let's spend a little bit of time on this real quick, because I think this is one of those places where this is where I think a lot of the people who are coming in this space, and I hate to call them normies because they're way ahead of a lot of other people, especially if they're watching this. So your public key and your private key, obviously, I'm not going to reveal my private key, but this is something that you should make a copy of safely, right? Like this is one of those things where you should not lose these, as I have once, and you know, put them in a safe place. Either you've got them written down somewhere, whatever you want to do to make them safe. Do not take a picture of these with your phone. For God's sakes, don't do that. But keep these around, because whether you're signing in through a desktop or a laptop or through your phone, these things are going to be very important for making sure that you don't lose your profile. And once you lose it, it's gone, man. Like, it'll still exist out there, but it's going to be there forever. And you're all, you can look at it and you go, man, that was a great account. And I had all these followers, you know, whatever. That's, you're going to lose it.
And the nice thing, right? Like, so different, very different from Bitcoin too, is like these keys, they're two, you're like social media, right? You're like online profile. So a little less critical than like, I don't know, your life savings. So you're not going to have like a super secure device. Not yet. Maybe you will. Maybe your profile, your reputation online is worth so much to you that you're not just like throwing it in some random website. You're using like a more secure, you know, remote signer, right? That will like sign on your behalf sort of thing. That gets complicated. For most people though, like this is going to be sufficient. A browser extension is going to be sufficient, that just the browser extension lives there, and every Nostr site that you go to, it will just log you in with that browser extension and do all the signing for you. One cool thing, Shane, go throw a post, like go hit new note there on the bottom left. And one of the other cool things about Nostr is Shane doesn't have to have any follower account. He doesn't have to have anything really. There's no requirement, but his content is instantly monetizable, right? So like there's nobody sitting here, you know, gatekeeping Shane from monetizing his content. Because we have these things called zaps on Nostr.
What is a zap, Gary?
I'm sending you sats, brother. It's Bitcoin Lightning Payments or eCash. And it's from me to you. It's peer-to-peer. And you can send it to whoever you want, right? And it's a part of Nostr. So if you're on Nostr, I can zap your profile. I can zap your content. You can zap the stream. There's all these different things, right? The comments in the zap.stream, you can zap individual ones. It looks like we have a zap in the...
Make post a note, and then I'm going to zap it, and then we'll
right, see that's how... Yeah.
Yeah.
One other thing, too, that's particularly big that none of the other social media platforms provide is you get to see your post preview. Like, that's something that's actually particularly nice. If you're trying to like construct a specific post, like for the mobile thread, like you don't want something carrying over to the other side or whatever. Like a lot of people pay attention to that. So like, that's just a little thing that I think gets overlooked, is like the post preview is pretty nice. I like it personally.
Let's see if I can find Shane here and send him over a zap.
Do you need the NPub there, Gary?
Yeah, throw it to me. That'd be quicker.
Okay. As I just created this account today because I lost my.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say like,
I'm definitely not. Trying to find you.
I'm like, how am I not following you?
Yeah, you probably are, and you're probably following the account that I lost my damn keys.
Well, no, pull up the zap.stream. Pull up the zap.stream. Go to bitcoinveterans.org/zap, and then there's a very clear, concrete example of like how this thing's gonna work.
I will put the zap on it. I know.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
So what this is doing is in the live stream, in the chat, in the real chat where the OGs, like the real ride or dies are, is you can see there that Tracer and Dr. Nikimoto, right? Like they zapped 1,000 sats. That's going to Bitcoin Veterans. Like that's going to the organization. And you can go there. You can go to this website and hit.
Well, what's a zap? You keep saying zap. What's a zap?
It's Bitcoin.
Yeah. Let's break it down a little bit further.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously you've got Bitcoin on chain for everybody who's new, and then you've got Lightning, right? And what you're doing with a zap is you're sending this through the Lightning network on layer two technology from one person to the another without anybody in between, no gatekeepers, none of that kind of stuff. This is directly from one person to another, peer-to-peer, like we like to call it here. And that's it. Micropayments, Jordan. That's it. That's a zap. We are literally just sending a transaction over Lightning in Bitcoin, and nobody can stop one payment to another person. Incredible.
And again, this is like, you know, think about... you know, the internet, like big ones, right? Like the Mr. Beasts or whatever, or like the Joe Rogan, right? Can you imagine if like the chat or the live studio audience or whoever, and here's the other thing, is it doesn't have to be the live stuff. Like anything can be zapped at any point on Nostr. Like it's part of like the Nostr protocol is these like zaps.
Particularly meme lords.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You drop some sick memes into Nostr and you're going to get some zaps. And some of these clients that you're using, some of these apps will show you like how many zaps you've had. So, you know, there's like my chart in Amethyst of like the zaps, right? So yesterday was a lot better on zaps.
I'm adding Gary. Hold on.
What?
I don't know. There you go.
Yeah. So like today it's like 180 sats. That's like fractions of a Bitcoin, right? Fractions of Bitcoin. But yesterday it looks like I got up to, I can't read that backwards, like almost like 800 Satoshis. That's like 80 cents.
Big earning day.
It's 80 cents. I just shit posting, you know, saying good morning to my friends on the internet. You know what I mean? Like you get on there, and that's the other thing, is it's like you don't know what to do with your whole you know, Noster profile. Just get out in the morning and say GM. Just say good morning. I guarantee you a bunch of people are gonna flood in and be like, good morning, GM, 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 GM. And it's kind of nice. And you know, you get to know these different like profiles and stuff, even if you haven't met people in person. But when I meet people in person, I'm like, hey, show me your MPUB. Like, I want to verify, like, this is actually you, right? Because now I have cryptographic certainty that anything I see from this NPUB, from this profile, is like you. And there's two things that AI cannot fake, right? You can't fake a digital signature, and you can't fake proof of work, right? So like the proof of work things means like AI is not coming for the blocks in Bitcoin. But that digital signature is, when you see something online, how do you know it's real? Like, how do you know what it is? Like you can see a video and be like, I don't know what this is. But if I can post a video and I can attest to this video being like, you know, valid and sign it, you can know that like, hey, Gary, like signed off on this sort of thing. Right. And I think that's going to be critical, especially as you like, I don't know, somebody posted the other day where it's like some Instagram thing, but it was like an AI image of like a chick and like, I could not find the uncanny valley, whatever is an AI that like, it looked just like a person, you know what I mean? Like it's getting that good, and it's only going to get better. And if they can do that with images, video is just a sequence of images, right? Strung together.
Or even just a post, just text. I mean, that's easy enough to just copy. If somebody gets your Twitter account information or SIM swaps you or whatever, just they post something saying, you know, Gary is gay.
Donald Trump on Twitter. Do you think Elon could, I don't know, hijack his account and post on his behalf?
Yeah,
dude.
He's hijacked accounts before. He took like the @America handle or whatever, right? And the @X whatever handle, right? Like, if you're the leader of a nation, why are you using these silos, right?
I mean, you talk about it.
Elon, all these people can do it to you.
You talk about an external risk. I mean, you're literally, you've got guys with accounts that are basically controlling the executive of the United States that can be faked or taken over.
Yeah. Or, imagine if the ADL got into like having the AI and the account capabilities like that. I mean, which by the way, I'm not even going to go there.
Well, like look at like Biden basically saying that he wasn't going to run and how all that situation played out. Yeah. And nobody's really, imagine if he had posted something saying like, yeah, I was planning on running and they did this to me. Like you would have proof that, I don't know if Biden's running his own Noster account, but you know, like you'd have a way to basically get a word out to the world. Like this other stuff you're seeing over here is not real. This is me proven to be me saying what's real.
Well, and that's a double-edged sword too, right? And one of the other things is like, my buddy I just got him started and he's like, I can't delete posts. And I'm like, nope, sorry. Like things you put on the internet, even if you think you deleted it, they're not deleted. Like it just doesn't, like that's not, deleting on the internet is not a thing. Like you can ask Elon to delete your tweet, but guess what? That's still somewhere, right? It's still somewhere out there. So like it's enforcing this reality of like shit you put on the internet cannot be deleted. So
it also creates for a better like environment when people know that like, all right, if I say this, it's there permanently. You might think twice before just popping off talking shit to somebody.
Radical personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Same with
and accountability. Oh no, man.
Yeah. People are going to hate it. All these people going back. That's why I love it. Tweets like, oh, let me go delete all these tweets about whatever. Right. You don't have to worry about screenshots anymore. Well, and that's the other thing is, you know, if you're running your relay, right, which the relay is just like the database that things go into. If you're running this relay, you can back up everybody else's shit, right? I can back up all of Mike's notes. I can back up all my own notes. You can self-host this. You can have it on your phone. I have a relay like that just runs on my phone, right? It's just like a dumb database. So there's also like this dynamic where the data is out there and there's no like guarantee that anybody's going to save your data for you. But a lot of people, like if you're, you know, if you're friends with me, when I spin up my relay finally, yeah, come like post on my relay. I'll save your data for you. It's not going to cost me anything extra. In fact, I want your shit on my relay because I want to communicate with you and I want to know where to find you. So
we lost Jordan. He's gone. They took him out. Yeah.
It's gone dark.
The super nerd Noster conversation put him to sleep.
If you tried it, here's the thing, Mike, you're right. The super nerd thing. Like if you tried Noster like a year or two ago, when it first, there was like a big, like Jack
Dorsey, I was using it a year ago. It was brutal.
It was janky, man. It was rough. Like there's been a lot of smooth edges over time. And one of the other crazy things is like the developer community, right? So I'm a dev, right? I do open source tech. I do freedom tech. There's a lot of activity, a lot of churn, like people constantly experimenting, iterating. And that's why it's gotten so better, right? And you don't see that a lot. Like
Love it.
You don't see a lot of new tech that gets like grassroots adoption of people that are like, oh, wow, this is sweet. And one prime example I'll say is like, if you're like a website guy, but you're not like a database guy, right? But you really have this idea for an app, but you don't want to go through the hassle of like AWS and like standing up databases and cloud and all this other stuff. Noster is the answer. You can just go do a Noster. Like a Noster website can just be a single HTML page. Like that's it. Like you really just need the bare minimums to do a Noster app. And you kind of like offload all that back-end database and all this other things to the rest of the network. And the beautiful thing is when you launch that single page website app that is like nothing but like, you know, bearded bald guys and comments on their pictures, you instantly have users from the rest of the Noster network. Because when I go to your website, I don't have to create another account. To your point, Mike, from what you were saying before, I don't have to input another email and put like a plus sign for the URL so I know which one's like selling my data off to whoever, right? It just works. Like I just have an account. And say you don't have an account. Say you don't want somebody to know that you're into bearded bald guys. You just spin up a new key. You just have a new account, a new key, a new NPub, and call it whatever you want. You call it Mike Hobart.
Who's not like the bald guys, for God's sake.
Like, fake news. The cool thing is that when I was using it a year ago, I had gone out to California to visit with some friends of mine that are in the Bitcoin space. And I went to a dev meetup. I can't remember the name of the place that we went to, but they were having a presentation on Noster. And I was telling like everybody in attendance, I'm like, guys, like we're talking about this and even now the conversation's in the dynamic of social media use, but wait until we get to the point of where business is on top of it. And something very important, like health insurance or like medical records, to the point of where you don't need to constantly provide this, like all of us in the military, like getting your medical records is a pain in the ass. And then bringing it to the next provider, the next insurance thing. You can have it all in this one spot with not having to create new accounts like Gary and I have talked about. So you can just bring it to them. They're like, oh, okay, this is all your stuff. Like, this is all your information. Cool.
Like there's already a guy working on that.
Yeah, exactly.
There's already like just, yeah.
Once it gets to the point of where there are these like service providers and these businesses and everything, because they will come, because they're gonna want this kind of infrastructure already done back end, like Gary's talking about, and the ease of access to the user base, and like which is effectively there's just perpetual leads available to any business that's coming out there. Like this is it's gonna get really really cool really fast.
Well, and there's another thing too. Is there's these things called DVMs, data vending machines. All that means is like custom feeds, right? So we have like this positivity feed that we're going to get from Elon. Like, that's cool. Maybe you're into that, right? Maybe you don't want to see all the bullshit, right? Maybe you don't want any negativity or maybe you feel like picking a fight and you want to see some people that are like, you know, being negative and saying some shit. With Noster, because it's an open social graph, because it's an open like data set, right? For anybody, is people are going in and creating these like custom feeds. I can go and I can say, hey, give me Shane's NPub feed, right? And like, you can have unique views of the entire ecosystem. So we're checking out. You can find me at primal.net/Gary. It's right down there.
I was going to also bring up, you know, we're some people that like to put our money where our mouth is. And I think, you know, this is one of those things where if you're invested in things, let me just pull this up real quick and we'll show it. You can see here, our buddy Preston has got a little, you know, tick mark next to his name that says Legend 2024. Gary, I think you also have one of these things, and you get one of these by donating $1,000 to the development. And I think that's a really cool thing, you know, to look around and see some of the people that, you know, I've followed on Primal, you know, that have all put their money where their mouth is. Like, this is not only where I need to be posting, but this is one of those places that I want to help develop. And I think that's just, I don't know, such a cool thing to be a part of. Is like, hey man, you know, give these guys $1,000. You got, you know, this legendary, you know, thing up there that says, hey, yeah, I helped build Primal, which I mean, what a cool thing, building a decentralized platform where, you know, people are not going to get censored or suppressed or throttled or blacklisted or shadow banned or whatever the hell it is. You know, this is an absolutely killer application. And I think this is the future of where people are headed. And I think people are starting to wake up to the idea that not only Bitcoin, but Nostr are going to be extremely important going forward.
Click on that Zaps thing, Preston, and you can see the signal, right?
This
so
one
it's
up
one
here?
Thing to like. No, down. It's like, no. Down below, it's like 2,096 zaps to the right, yeah. A little bit.
Yep.
Click that. Like, you want signal? Likes are nothing. Likes mean nothing. If you're sending Bitcoin to somebody, like that's a big signal, right? Like that thousand sats, right? That's a whole dollar. 1,000 sats. Paul Saladino. Anybody follow that carnivore guy? He's on Nostr.
He's awesome.
Right. So Preston is out here sending signal, high signal. Right? Not just like likes, hearts, emojis, which you can do that too, but like sending real value. Nostr enables value for value. If I'm putting content out there or material out there on Nostr that people value, they can send me actual value back. And it can be one person. I just need one person to follow me and appreciate it. And they can send me as much Bitcoin as they want.
I just wanted to say two things that I personally appreciate. A, I like that the devs or whoever made the decision. I like that the threshold for getting the legend tag was relatively high for like the average individual, like kind of bringing meritocracy a little bit to it. Like, you got to put in some work to be able to say that you supported them to be able to get to the point of having the legend kind of like achievement unlocked. I like that. Like, I like seeing meritocracy come back a little bit, but then I also personally like that Preston's page is looking like he is a WoW gamer. Like that, like he looks like a profile for somebody who is a streamer for WoW, like Asmogold or whoever, if you guys watched the Sam Hyde video recently.
When any developer can monetize too, right? Like, that's the thing, is like Domus has this purple thing, which is the same thing. It's like a subscription thing, but it's going right to the developers. There's no ads, there's no middlemen, right? Like, there's nothing like that. There's a company that's trying to bring like Nostr ads via Zaps, right? I can send you a short note with each Zap. Well, maybe I'm advertising Bitcoin veterans, or maybe I'm advertising, you know, Virginia Freedom Tech, right? Like, you can do that. And I want your sats. Like, please give me your sats. I'll read your short message. If you want to send me the sats, go ahead.
What's the next thing we were going to talk about? Was it the countries?
Yeah, are you guys ready to move on? If there's any questions from the audience on Nostr, you know, hit us up. And, you know, we have a Nostr. What are you pointing at there, Gary?
Oh, my profile. Hit me up.
Oh, hit Gary up on Nostr. But yeah, we can move on. The unplanned resignations and. I think this is a very interesting development. You were saying there was one in Romania the other day. We know South Korea is going through this. Justin Trudeau, that bitch just resigned. And
did he officially resign today?
On Monday. Yeah.
He did on Monday. I saw the expectation of him to resign at some point this week, but I didn't see that he officially did it.
Go ahead, Jordan, you're on mute. Say
well, all and who's the front runner for taking over for Trudeau, right? He's a Bitcoiner, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly. Okay. But but Trudeau is, he's resigned, but he said, like, I'll stay until they pick the next guy. So right. Once the next guy's picked, so he's still going to be around until that happens. Hmm.
Which is kind of how a resignation works, right?
A lot of times they resign and it's like, get the hell out now.
Yeah, well, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, it's like, I just found out the other day that Romania had a coup a month ago that I didn't hear about. So that was interesting. Australia's, I think, chancellor or prime minister is stepping down a couple, like last week.
Yes.
And then we've got France's Macron stepping down, Germany's leader stepping down, UK, I believe, Canada, like you just mentioned, like a lot of just and then South Korea dealing with, apparently South Korea has a rolling problem with their leadership either getting assassinated or impeached or whatever. But it just seems like, and they're all countries that are part of like the allies network, if you want to refer to them as that, like the Western developed nations that are in opposition to the East, which would be primarily like China and Russia. Yeah. It's very interesting to see. And like, I mean, they're all countries that were engaging in DEI nonsense. And like you were saying, Shane, I think it's particularly, it's positive signal, but like any of us have mentioned before, and as the resident Doom Lord, transitions are highly chaotic and still opportunities for outcomes that you don't want, which is reason to pay attention to, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny to me because, you know, I'm not one of those guys that's like, you know, Trump's going to come in and clean house. Like, I don't think on January 20th or, you know, the first 100 days, you're going to see massive arrest of people who are on
criminals.
Yeah. Of real criminals, like satanic, pedophilic, you know, sex trafficking assholes, right? Like those people on the Epstein list, I think they're fine, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I will be the first one to be like, dude, I was wrong about this guy, and good job, man. Like, way to go, way to make me look like a fucking clown. But it's also very interesting to me that a lot of these people are wrapped up in that same, you know, whether it's, you know, Le Pen who's going to be coming in, not her. What's France's Macron? You know, that guy's into some weird shit, like his husband and all that kind of stuff. He was a cross-dresser, you know, like that's pretty weird. You know, and I think, you know, Trudeau's probably a big part of that as well. I think he's, you know, compromised. I think most of these guys are compromised, which is kind of a, you know, just a red flag to me. It's like, all right, well, if you guys are all resigning now, why now? And what is the, you know, precipitous event? And, you know, the biggest precipitous event that can reach all these different people is something possibly coming from the United States executive. And I don't know, like it makes me at least pause and sit there and go, I don't know, maybe something is going on.
Yeah, like there, I agree. I could definitely, I'm in the same boat. I will be very happy to be proven wrong that like Trump does go after all these people. Like, I don't think there's anybody in the world that deserves to be rounded up and taken care of than these groups. But the other thing too is that like, I think what could be scaring them is maybe not the executive, but seeing the people. Like the people are starting to get to the point of where they're not tolerating it anymore. And from what I've seen, it's not just Americans that are in that position. Like you look at what's happened, particularly in the UK in the last week with this revelation of these hidden rapes by migrants that have been happening for over 20 years. Like it's a lot of this stuff is starting to like come out. And then like, I'm wondering if there isn't going to be investigations into the actual network itself. Because it's been I heard a quote from a podcast recently that conspiracy theorists are always right. It just takes quite a while for us to be proven right. Like, I think that more people are going to start pulling on. It's like, okay, well, why do all of these particular people that are all kind of like of the same network have the same proclivities and the same problems? Like, oh, maybe because there's a logistical network that they are all relying on that they all share. Maybe we need to start doing a little root cause analysis and pulling on that thread a little bit and chasing down like that network and doing something about it.
And do you like these resignations these days, like, is this people seeing the writing on the wall, or is this like a, a wink and a nudge from some external third party of like, hey, exit stage left, buddy.
I think it could be both, in all honesty. I think it's the people are starting to realize, and then they're getting a wink and a nudge. It's like, hey, if you want this to stay alive, and we're telling you that the rest of us want this to stay alive, you need to move. Like, you need to get out of the way.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think it's mostly the people have figured out how to communicate and exchange information and figure out the truth. But in doing so, it's kind of exposed some of these more nefarious networks or nodes that are doing everything like you just described. But what I worry about is now that they're getting a little more exposed, whether arrests happen or not, they're a little bit more exposed. What I worry about now is they're going to change the tactics and do something kind of completely different that is just going to take another 20 plus years to figure out what the hell their new thing, they're whatever it is, they're already working on it, or they already had it, something built up. I mean, they have backup plans.
Well, just look at the economy. Like, just look at the economy, right? Like, you've got like 10-year notes that, like, going parabolic, right? Like, you've got all these like macro indicators of like the shit's blown up. There's no buyers anymore, right? Like, if you do all the macro podcast things, right, in the Bitcoin space, you'll know this. Like Luke Groman, Preston, like all those guys, go listen to that, and you can see that there is this like this thing that is like on the precipice. And it, I often wonder, like the pro Bitcoin nation states, right? Like, is that going to be enough to sort of like soften whatever that is, or is it just going to like accelerate the like into the floor, right? Like it's either like one way or the other.
Yeah, and you know, it's incredible, as you know, things are changing extremely fast now. You know, what was it, yesterday, Monday, when they've certified the election, right? You had Kamala Harris, you know, literally have to stand up there and be like, hey, this guy is now the president of the United States. In that time, you know, what's interesting is there is a new video that just dropped from Trump on Truth Social. This might be worth our time to play it. You guys up for that?
Hit it.
All right, let's hit it.
I haven't seen it, so I'm particularly excited for this.
I don't know.
Yeah, so this is from Donald Trump. If you guys know who Jeffrey Sachs is, he was on
Tucker Carlson. Tucker.
That. Yeah, not long ago, talking about some pretty interesting things. So here we go.
Well, the war in Syria, and you may actually hear from grown-up reporters who are lying through their teeth or ignorant beyond imagining. That, oh, the war in Syria, yes, Russia intervened in Syria. Well, do you know that that Obama tasked the CIA to overthrow the Syrian government, starting 4 years before Russia intervened? What kind of nonsense is that? And how many times did the New York Times report on Operation Timber Sycamore, which was the presidential order to the CIA to overthrow Bashar al-Assad? 3 times in 10 years. This is not democracy. This is a game, and it's a game of narrative. Why did the U.S. invade Iraq in 2003? Well, first of all, it was completely phony pretenses. It wasn't, oh, we were so wrong, they didn't have weapons of mass destruction. They actually did focus groups in the fall of 2002 to find out what would sell that war to the American people.
Oof.
Abe Scholsky, if you want to know the name of the PR genius. They did focus groups on the war. They wanted the war all the time. They had to figure out how to sell the war to the American people, how to scare the shit out of the American people. It was a phony war. Where did that war come from? You know what? It's quite surprising. That war came from Netanyahu, actually. Why that? It's weird. And the way it is that Netanyahu had from 1995 onward the theory that the only way we're going to get rid of Hamas and Hezbollah is by toppling the governments that support them. That's Iraq, Syria, and Iran.
How'd that work out?
And the guy's nothing if not obsessive. And he's still trying to get us to fight Iran this day, this week. He's a deep, dark son of a bitch, sorry to tell you. Because he's gotten us into endless wars, and because of the power of all of this in the U.S. politics, he's gotten his way. But that war was totally phony. So what is this democracy versus dictatorship? Come on. These are not even sensible terms.
It's crazy how long Netanyahu has been.
Wait, hold on. Trump posted that one?
That's from President Trump just now, guys. Holy, like, I don't know how to, this is a moonshot. This is what this is. He's been talking about fucking Greenland and the Gulf of America and annexing fucking Canada. And then they drop this shit where he calls out Netanyahu for getting and falsifying intelligence to get the U.S. to come over there and fight Israeli.
Oh, yeah.
And see you all until you fucking die.
Arlie Ermey just decided to light up over there on the sound.
And just for like,
holy shit,
just because Trump just decided to like figure this stuff out. This has been known for a while for anybody who cared to look into it and figure it out. Like, this
more
is not,
conspiracy theories.
This is not even a it's very blatant. It's all out there. And what's crazy is like how long Netanyahu has been a leader in Israel. Not consecutively, but like what did he say? 93, 95 yeah. When these plans go back to like the neocons as well, like before they were able to take power. Like this is not like new stuff. This has been things that have, I mean, Netanyahu's been talking about Iran getting a nuclear weapon. They're just months away from getting a nuclear weapon. He's been saying that for my entire life.
Yeah.
And look at where it's just, like they said, focus groups to try to get what's going to sell the war most.
They literally try to regurgitate that. And I think from John Brennan, of all people, like, you know, Brennan and the rest of those, you know, ridiculous CIA guys, man, it's like, you know, when you're regurgitating what you were saying in 2001, 2002, 2003, like the MO is old, it's over, but this is a bombshell. Like, and this is, I think between, you know, yesterday and today, this is a different tone, man. Like you've got a president who hasn't gone through the inauguration yet. And he has now been certified as the president of the United States. Like this right here,
waiting for the certification, right? Like waiting for the certification to go down. The certification has happened now, right? So like that piece, that's like the official piece of it.
Yeah.
And now it's just the inauguration. So it's like one more solidification of his, you know, presidency. And now he drops it.
And we still got 2 more weeks before that. And we've already seen what happened in the first 48 hours of this year. So like hold on to your butts, guys. But then from that point, like after the inauguration, it also is not done. Like, right. So like they have 4 more years to try and fail and refine and do it again. But the other thing too is that that Jeffrey Sachs clip, I think a lot of things were accomplished in that video. Maybe Trump is aware. He seems pretty smart, so he's probably aware of like the effectiveness of that video. But this conversation about democracy in America needs to be really had. Like, I think it needs to be had like very aggressively, because like the more that I think about it, the more that I look at it, this whole like, well, you're violating the democracy like within the United States as far as like the voting process or whatever. It's like, well, first of all, I'm going to stop you right there. Constitutional republic. We were not established as a democracy, and there's a reason for it. And that is that democracy turns into mob rule, especially when you have a problem with that, especially when that democracy or that mob rule is under the guise of tyrannical, like a tyrannical mindset or mind virus. And then you got people like lynch mobs going around and all this other stuff, turning other like minority groups into martyrs. You basically cannot have democracy rule. There was a podcast for it. I can't remember. I apologize, but they had brought it up that like they used the Middle East as the example. It's like, look at the example of the Middle East for like democracy rule. It's not exactly a positive. There was a podcast for it. I can't remember. I apologize.
So we got audio playback.
Where's that coming from? East as the example. It's like, look at.
Sorry.
Okay.
I was just trying to figure out where that is coming from.
Mike, a crazy thing is like the rampant like miseducation of America on how our government is structured is too, and the some of the drastic changes that happened to it. The whole like senators used to be appointed by the states.
Yeah.
Right?
16th like, when did that change? 1913.
What else happened in 1913?
Weird.
Yeah, that's the greatest president ever, Woodrow Wilson, signed in the Federal Reserve Act.
And I had no idea, like in not that I was like a huge history buff in school or anything like that, but like it's just not anything. It was always just like, oh yeah, the senators and the congressmen get elected. Man, that's such a drastic shift in power dynamics within this Republic of States.
Especially right? when you look up why the House of Representatives was set up the way it was and why the Senate was set up the way it was so that they could balance each other out. And now you've made them basically the same thing with just a different apportionment of votes.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
And, yeah. And the other thing too, I lost it. Never mind. Go ahead, Shane. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that you guys are right on the history of this in terms of the 17th Amendment is, you know, when they made the senators Democratic, what they did is they took away the people who were supposed to be speaking on behalf of the state. That's, yep. You know, when you do that, when you take, you know, two people and if you're still not tracking, the assemblies in your state would get together and they would elect the state representatives, which were the senators. That's a completely different idea than, you know, what we're doing now. So if they were not representing the state well, the state would recall these guys. And that's, you know, a really good thing. It's also, it puts that power of, you know, recalling these guys firmly in the people's hands again, because if you can reach out and touch your senators via your local representatives in the state, which let's face it, you can reach out and touch your state reps and your county reps and all those guys a lot easier than you can touch a U.S. representative who has absolutely nothing to do with you on a normal basis and probably doesn't even live in your state most of the time. They probably got a cushy little place up there in D.C. and they
deal within the green zone.
They deal with anybody who wants to lobby them and take them out and wine and dine them and have them over to whatever exotic paradise, you know, or just some sort of luxurious living. This was a huge, huge move away from the Republic back in 1913.
I honestly think it's a very long structured plan to inject communism into the United States. That's what I think it was. Yeah. To like just to start like forcing the little oh no, we're a democracy. It's like, oh, we are really? We're a democracy. I mean, that sounds really good. It's like, and then it develops into mob rule and all this other. I think
it's more of since the founding of the country, there's been the people that wanted to make things more centralized to have more control. And as time has gone on, it's kind of taken on a more communist bent to it because of just the era we live in. But I mean, it always just comes down to how much centralization versus decentralization. Like that's what the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists were basically arguing for and against. Mm-hmm. And that is really like you could pick out any like chunk of any time period in American history. And it's always come down to this fight between the people that want to be left alone and decentralize things, more power as low as it can, and those who want to centralize. And unfortunately, the centralizers have tended to win more, or at least when they do win, it's just such an outsized impact on the ripple on effects because centralization fucking sucks.
Well, it's because they control money, right?
Yeah, and unless you control the central
power. And that's it, right? And that's kind of what we get down to every time. I mean, this Bitcoin space is full of people who understand exactly what the problem is. And communism stems from the ability to print money. That's why it's been so successful throughout the 20th and 21st century so far. Is you've got a group of people who literally can print money out of thin air that you have to work for, and then they can apply it to whatever they want, whether it's, you know, you know, blackmail operations like Epstein Island or the whole Diddy fiasco, or, you know, probably the Oprah Winfrey and the rest of those, you know, the scumbags that are out there, you start to understand, you know, algorithms and how they tailor things like porn sites to go after these people with really weird sexual proclivities. They invite them to something. They're narcissists. They're megalomaniacs. They're like, I deserve to be here. And just by being at a certain place with certain people that they want to be, you know, hobnobbing with and rubbing elbows with, now, yeah, now they're exposed and they're compromised and they've probably got video of it. So what do those congressmen and senators do? Whatever those people tell them to do. And now you've got a completely controlled Congress and Senate, and they appoint people to bureaucracies and the most powerful bureaucracies on the planet. So when we talk about how important Bitcoin is, not other shit coins, not all the dumb stuff that's out there, Bitcoin and Bitcoin only, this helps break that grip that they have on the world in terms of fiat currencies that absolutely disincentivize good behavior and incentivize the most perverse, evil, satanic behavior on the planet.
Look where all the money printers gone to, right? Yeah. Like the forever wars, the military industrial complex, which nations have we been saying the most foreign aid to? The people that want us in those wars, it's Israel, right? Like we just send them piles of money and they want us in these wars to destabilize, like to basically carry out their foreign policy. Like we're the action arm of them to carry out that foreign policy. And because the money printer is so successful, you can just Raytheon, Lockheed, all these like big defense contractors just become fat cats, while the rest of us, and by that I mean veterans, just get shafted and blown the fuck up.
Yeah.
And
then they continue to manipulate the rest of the infrastructure for the other industries and sectors that they control. So like you get the money printer to the defense contractors, they get all the money, they get the fat cats like you're talking about, and then they allow for stock buybacks to be legal, so they continue to pump themselves more power. It's just like it's a negative feedback loop.
And at the end of the day, it's like, oh, go ahead, Jordan.
Well, every 4 years or every election is just fighting over which side gets control $4 trillion, and that number is always growing. And then it's the fight over who gets to control that to make more of it and to siphon it off. Generally, there's the people that you have to like, you got to pay these guys, but then like, you know, we're going to get money over to our side. Now imagine you like remove that, you make that system obsolete, and now the money is those who have put their time and effort into acquiring it. And it's like just diffused all throughout the globe. Well, and the incentive structure that changed.
We just bought a politician. Like we just bought a bunch of political seats. Like if you look at the Bitcoin and the, especially the broader crypto lobby, like not just the presidential race, like Trump was there in no small part due to, you know, the Bitcoin and crypto lobby. But you also have like other races, other political races that this lobby was a part of, right? So it's interesting. There's this website called Stacker News. And one of my first, like the first post I had on there as like a, you know, a starry-eyed Bitcoiner back in the beginning, I think it's at end 2023, is like, you know, Bitcoin shadow governments 2024 ? And I was basically like, hey, like the halving's coming up. Bitcoiners are going to have all this like power and influence. Like, why would we not want to like influence like local elections to put people in positions of power that agree with our ideologies and align with our objectives? And lo and behold, here we are in 2025. We got, you know, the orange coin by the orange man being pumped to infinity and a bunch of other pro Bitcoin politicians coming into seats talking about SBRs and everything like that. So that's a beautiful thing. And we don't have to stop at like the federal level for that. You could do that if you're like a Bitcoin whale sitting around, like find some pleb that wants to run for political office at your meetup and like make him the mayor of your town, right? Like, you know, if you want to, or hodl strong. But I mean, the wealth game of accruing power and influence, right? And that's the other thing, is like I feel like the whole like DEI thing narrative is like kind of like shove that to the side. Like, oh no, you want to be equal and all this like diversity and everything. No, fuck that. Be the best at whatever you're going to be, accrue power and influence, and do good work in the world.
Damn right.
And in the Bitcoin monetary basis is going to reward you for that. And so it's like a flywheel. It's like, oh man, I'm going to keep doing great work because I keep getting sats. Oh man, I'm going to keep shit posting on Nasr because I keep getting zapped. Right? Like it's a flywheel effect. And Bitcoiners have learned how to see through a lot of this bullshit, right? It's like one of the crucibles you have to go through. You have to go through this like cognitive dissonance of like everything I've learned, I should start questioning because it's probably fucking wrong. And so you get to see who's actually playing the game above board, right? Like moral and just individuals. How are they playing this game? Support those people. Find those people. Seek those people out. Be that person in your community to elevate others and do good on their behalf.
I was going to say, you know, and just add to this, courage is contagious. And when you start to see guys standing up and you want to support them, and I'm telling you, it's not that hard. You can speak out, you can stand up, especially if you've divorced yourself from the system. And the longer you're in Bitcoin, the faster you can divorce yourself. Have you ever been worried about what you're going to say because you might lose your fucking job? Like, I know for a period of time, I was that guy, man. And I can tell you now, I don't have to worry about that shit anymore. And that's Bitcoin. If you're going to change things, you know, it's going to take some courage. And that courage, I'm going to tell you right now from experience, standing up and speaking truth to power is one of the most gratifying things you can possibly do. And it's going to inspire other young men, which is exactly what we need coming up, is we need an inspired bunch of young men coming up going, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to say what I want. I'm going to get a Bitcoin job. I'm going to stack Bitcoin. I'm going to free myself. I'm going to free my family. I'm going to free my legacy from the system. And that's how we start, you know, that flywheel. You start to get a bunch of courageous dudes out there that have divorced themselves from the system. Boy, you want to talk about change and change fast. This is the reestablishment of, I think, masculinity in America. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Bushido of Bitcoin. I don't know if some of you guys are already reading that.
I just got it today or yesterday.
Yeah, it's I'm about halfway through this book so far. And I got to tell you, Svetsky has done an awesome job. I'm looking forward to having him on. I think probably by the end of March or something like that is what we discussed. Give everybody some time to read it and then kind of really go through it. But this reestablishment of, you know, this the positive masculinity that society needs, and where we're headed as Bitcoiners, and asking that question, like, hey, what are our ethics? What are our morals? What are we going to be striving for? I think, you know, Gary, you said it just right, man. There's we've got this, and we've got something, you know, that we can help other people free themselves with. It just takes a little bit of courage.
Well, in the veterans group, right? Like this Bitcoin veterans mission, the thing that drew me to it is, you know, growing up, like I read about like the Knights of King Arthur and stuff, and this idea of like just men being strong,
yeah,
and being ready to like being peaceful, not harmless, like don't fuck with me because I'm strong and I have a gun, but also I want to have a polite conversation with you, right? Like I'm having coffee with a couple of my buddies this morning, and this woman overheard our conversation about like public education and decided that she wanted to be a Karen and say something about it. We're like, well, hey, do you want to like sit down and have a conversation? And she sat down and we had a perfectly cordial conversation with this woman. We did not mince words by any means, but like we didn't like slander her. We didn't like demean her. We didn't talk down to her or anything like that. Like we entertained her ideas and everything. Yeah, it's like that's all you have to do. But you can still be firm with your stances of like, no, the public school, like a voucher system would be a net benefit. Basically, you're telling me you don't like the voucher system because you want your money to go. You want my money to go where you think my money should go instead of me saying where my money should go, sort of thing. But you can do it, right? Like there is a methodology to it. And the beautiful thing about like the veterans is like, you know, a lot of veterans, sure, I met plenty of dudes that like they were just like on the outs and they just need a place to go. But then there's also plenty of guys that like just went up there to raise their right hand and swore to the Lord that they're here to uphold the, you know, freedom, democracy, and defend the Constitution from, you know, all threats, foreign and domestic. And they believed it. I did 100%. I've got a tattoo that says non sibi sed patriae, not self, but country, right? That's because I was an ideological patriot joining the military after being sold this concept of like spreading freedom, democracy. Now I have the tools to actually do this, and I can do this on American soil for American people.
Peacefully.
Yes. Like I don't have to worry about like conflict. I'll be ready for it.
What's crazy is like this whole discussion we've talked about, like all the propaganda and the nefarious things that these people are doing to try to get their way. But then the way that they propagandize us to do their bidding is by like, they have to sell us on these righteous causes. And now that we believe them, we believe that these were like noble things to go do. And after finding out that, oh, that's not what we were being used for, we're like, well, screw you. We're going to go over here and we're going to go do what we put our hand up and said we were going to go do. We're going to continue to do this noble cause that we felt like is the good fight. So thanks for propagandizing us to be awesome, basically.
Yeah, speaking, thanks for teaching me how to run a squad of dudes. Because yeah. Like, men together can like set towards a common goal. There's not many things that can stop that.
Yeah.
Speaking of propagandizing and going off to do the right thing, I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to force it on you. Can we talk about the Matt Livelsberger situation a little bit?
We can, right after the sponsor break.
Let's do
Maximum it. Impact. This is where we've got the most people. We'll be back in 2 minutes. A big shout out to our friends over at Punchplate. Coddle.co, that's CODL.co. Punchplates are a durable medium for your Bitcoin and can store 12 words or 24 word Bitcoin backups. Storing your Bitcoin in metal ensures your keys will survive in the elements, accidental spills, and in some cases even fire. You don't have to worry about smeared ink or ripped paper and can sleep soundly knowing your Bitcoin are inscribed on a Punchplate. These are the best prices you're going to find in this industry. $24 for a 24-word punch plate. It's simple. It's a punch and a plate. No little letters. No stamps with letters on them. Just a punch and a plate. Go check them out at coddle.co. That's punch plate at coddle.co. Solo Satoshi is dedicated to the advancement of open source Bitcoin mining with a steadfast commitment to the security and decentralization of the Bitcoin network. As a pioneering force in the Bitcoin space, your mission is to empower individuals and businesses worldwide with innovative, secure, and decentralized mining solutions. At Solo Satoshi, they believe in the transformative power of open source software and the potential it holds for the future of Bitcoin mining. They strive to foster a community of developers and enthusiasts who share our vision of a more secure and decentralized Bitcoin landscape. Our dedication to open source principles is at the heart of their mission, driving their commitment to transparency, collaboration, and innovation. They are passionate about supporting the growth and the development of the Bitcoin network, and they recognize the critical role that open source software and developers play in achieving this goal. By promoting and contributing to open source ecosystems, they aim to facilitate a more robust and resilient Bitcoin network, ensuring its longevity and success for years to come. At Solo Satoshi, their mission is not only to provide cutting-edge mining solutions, but also to educate and inspire others about the importance of decentralization and open source principles in the Bitcoin space. They believe that by working together, we can create a future where Bitcoin mining is more accessible, efficient, and aligned with the core values of decentralization and open collaboration. All right, we're back. Bitcoin Veterans has replaced Gary. Probably a good addition. I don't know. I like that. you need something to hang it up there with, Gary. At any rate, yeah, Mike, you wanted to get into the conspiracy of the week.
That's the conspiracy of the year so far.
So for, I can't imagine anybody who hasn't heard about it, but I'll give a quick lowdown of it. Situation was that a Cybertruck had been detonated in front of Trump Tower in Las Vegas, and a email slash what people are calling a manifesto was also released prior to it. And it was released to an individual by the name of Sam Shumate, who was a CW2 intelligence officer in the Army for, I think he said he did it for 20 years. He went on Sean Ryan's podcast, I think 2 days after the truck blew up, to talk about how he received an email potentially from this Matthew Livelsberger, who is the individual that is being, I don't want to say allegedly, but I'm going to say allegedly, being the guy who detonated this truck and who died in the truck. And I say allegedly because we were talking about it before the show. He's been pointed as the guy who died and detonated the truck and was sitting in the truck when it detonated. Some problems with that quote unquote theory for me are that A, the DNA that was provided as being evidence of him being the one that died in the truck was provided by a family member, as reported by MSN, and not actually taken from the body itself. So that's, when it comes to intel ops, that's a little bit of a problem, in my opinion. It's not coming straight from the source. And then another big problem for this allegedly being Matt Livelsberger in the front seat of the truck is that the FBI said that A, he shot himself before he detonated the truck while sitting in the truck with a Desert Eagle that was present. A video that has come out of like showing the truck itself can actually, you get a view inside into the truck, and there appears to be no gunshot that goes off. With the Desert Eagle, you're gonna see a little bit of a muzzle flash. And
it's a 50 caliber bullet.
Yeah.
Like that's like
it big. Literally point. Would have gone through the roof.
Yeah. And you don't see the muzzle flash, the contents, which was a, for those I did not say, Matt Livelsberger was also a Green Beret. He had tons of accolades. Apparently everybody that worked with him loved him, thought he was super smart and very effective. He was also a team leader. And Jordan, did you say he worked intelligence too? Like
he was a team sergeant. And he, before that, he was a intel sergeant on a team.
Yeah. So he's capable. Right. Yeah. And this bomb that he made the Cybertruck into was made into a bomb by a couple canisters of gasoline and some mortar style fireworks, which does not make sense for a Green Beret of that capability. And so he detonated it. The FBI reported that the gunshot went off, killed him. Then the truck blew up. And then they're also saying that it's his DNA provided by a family member. When you watch the video, there's no gunshot. So the FBI was proven wrong on that, clearly lying about it. And then you don't have the direct source DNA because they said that his body was unidentifiable because of the fire. I'm like, there's a lot of things that aren't lining up that should be lining up. And
my only problem with that is like all of the destruction that happened, but then conveniently his passport and his military ID are not just legible. Like melted. Yeah. Like you're able to see that it's him. Like that was, all right. Like,
Those are two weird
situations.
Yeah. And I struggle to get to the point of like, okay, so the ID and the passport can survive. And the two letters that are the manifesto that they're saying were also present inside the vehicle that also survive. But you can't get DNA from the body when you could be able to get the DNA from the bone marrow. Like you're telling, like not all of these are lining up. They're not making a lot of sense.
There was another report saying that like they did match up like tattoos or something. I'm like, well, so then he had identifiable things on his body. So which is it? But I mean, the biggest one for me was like they did dental records, and I was like, all right.
My question, and I think I posted this like in the Intel chat we have for BB was like my first question was like, who cares? Right. And not so much like flippantly like, oh, who cares? But like, who would care about this? Like why, aside from the fact like, oh, bomb at a Trump thing, right? Like scary, whatever. But like, why? Like who cares to push whatever this narrative is? Like, what is the outcome? What is the desired outcome of this scenario that they've so clearly?
Yeah.
And part of that's going to be the email that was sent to Sam Shumate and Sean Ryan. There's one part of the email that Shane didn't want to touch on, and I agree we probably shouldn't touch on it right now. We're going to have a conversation about that, or a better conversation about that later, which would be referring to UAPs and stuff. But like, there's a lot of other information in that email as far as like war crimes committed in, I believe he said specifically in Afghanistan and stuff like that. And
he gives a location and a date and all that, which
and a couple undercover names, one for DEA agent, and then another was for an individual I can't remember. But yeah, those were redacted from the email when they were shared just to protect the identities of those individuals.
The redactions are what make me think, okay, that was like actually useful information. Like that was probably real. But as far as just to play devil's advocate, as far as the war crimes allegation, that was open source information. Like anybody could that knew like this report exists on this date or whatever. That wasn't information that only he was privy to. Now, he was correct in that, like, he obviously knew that information. It's not, that is not information most people are digging for. Like, unless you were there and you're like, what happened on this day? Like, that's what I've done in my past of deployments. Like, what happened on that? What was in the news that day? How did this come out? So,
and
that could go either way, but
I was going to also add one thing that was giving a lot of particular contention and controversy on the internet. When I say it on the internet, I really just mean Twitter, because I have an addiction and a problem. But there's like the identifiable, as far as like for verification, he provided a make, model, and year of a vehicle he had. And Twitter was lit afire by saying that the public records do not reflect this piece of information. So he's clearly lying. This is clearly a psyop. Sean Ryan and Shumate are clearly part of the CIA, MIC system. This is all just a bunch of nonsense. And then Sean Ryan and Shumate ended up having a Twitter Spaces, I think it was two nights ago now, that they were attended with Matt Tardio, Dale Stark, Sarah Adams, who has been on the podcast with them multiple times, but she's not really relevant to this part of the story anyway. But they had a bunch of intel people and good, like, reputable sources to talk about this stuff. And Matt Tardio got very specific information stating that while the make and model of that vehicle he provided for verification didn't match public records, it did match his ISO prep, which is the piece of information that you give to prove to a recovery team that you are who you say you are. You are an American citizen and all this other stuff.
His bona fides.
Yeah. So like, and that's like the most important part. It's like, it doesn't matter if it matches up with public record, it matches the ISO prep, because as Matt Tardio stated, just something I had forgotten about as a strategy.
But who released that information? Because how
he got it? He got ISO
prep information. That's like,
He said he got it from somebody that is still serving. He didn't give their name, but somebody that is still serving that has access to those bona fides, that has seen them, gave like their whatever you want to say.
Would that information have, you know how Sean Ryan kind of like went dark for a couple days?
Yeah.
Did the information come out after that about the ISO prep?
Yes.
I suspect that this.
But it wasn't from Sean Ryan. It was from Matt Tardio.
Yeah, but I'm suspecting that like Sean might have linked up with somebody.
Yeah,
over that's what I would hear, because they did not. They're like, I can prove that like this is him, but I'm not going to transmit this. Like, you're going to have to come meet me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So, and then the FBI came out, I think earlier today, stating that the email that was, and obviously I have my opinions about the FBI. I don't trust them at all. But it's just another kind of like check mark of them coming out and publicly stating that it was Matt Livelsberger that sent this email to Sam Shumate, who Sam Shumate brought to Sean Ryan. And I have theories.
I have no doubt that the email was from him. I just wonder, like, I'm like, why do you call this a manifesto? This was him trying to provide information.
He's a whistleblower. It's not a manifesto.
But those are the pieces of news that like rise to the top. Oh, he had a manifesto. Oh, he's lump him in with all these crazies that did something and wrote him.
It was, we like, still haven't answered like the who care, like, so.
So
like,
yeah, I'm at this point. Still, the theory is all right. Why is what happened important, and what is it? What kind of message is it pushing? And we had this thing that happened down in New Orleans as well, where, you know, a guy ran a fucking truck through a crowd down there on Bourbon Street. And you had an ISIS flag that was upside down and all this other stuff. I think, you know, in my head is, it looks like the powers that are, and, you know, the CIA, the Mossad, the rest of these people that are out there, they need war and they want war, and they are trying to push war, whether it's with China, whether it's with Russia, whether it's with Iran, and this fomenting this, you know, this aggravation that is, you know, the media and these ridiculous, you know, false flag events, or at least conspiratorial type events that are not clear cut. They leave a lot of questions. They don't quite smell right to most of us. And you're sitting there going like, okay, like Gary said, you know, why, who gives a shit? And you should give a shit, because they're trying to goad the American population into fucking war. The beautiful thing right now is, and I hate that we're, you know, like we're this far down the line, is, you know, about 24 fucking years ago, we started with my generation overseas, right? Like, it was just like, hey, we're going over there, we're doing these things. We heard earlier Sachs talk about this in terms of, you know, falsifying information, possibly pulling off attacks and all these other kind of things to push us into wars with other people's, with Israel's enemies. And, you know, I don't want to skirt around this. Anybody who's trying to be a provocateur right now, in terms of Russia wanting to fight us, Russia doesn't want to fight us. China doesn't want to fight us. Fucking Iran definitely doesn't want to fight us. None of these organizations and countries want to fight us. Would they appreciate that we weren't weaponizing the dollar? Would they appreciate that we weren't using the CIA and military force around the world? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
a little bit.
But in terms of, you know, this, these things being what they appear to be, boy, I don't think they are. And I think it's one of those things where I think this is the same old MO, and I'm glad we're war weary. I'm glad we're wore out. And it's just like, it's time for these people to not only be exposed, but it's time for them to start paying for their crimes. And I don't know, hopefully we'll start to see some of that. I don't know.
So you think it was just a push to foment anger or outrage or some sort of negative backlash or reaction from?
Well, yeah, you kind of look at, you know, what, you know, Mike and I said, you know, we haven't really dove into this, but the UAP aspect, right, is, and what he talks about in this is, you know, you got China drones that are all over the United States right now. Like, really? That you got China drones that are in accordance with FAA regulations with fucking blinking goddamn, you know, green and red, you know, strobes on them. You're like, no. Like, this, that makes zero sense. And I know there are some other UAP phenomenon that's out there. But at the end of the day, like, it's fomentation. It's one of those things where these guys are fear-based, and they try to elicit the fear reaction in people. Like, well, we got to fucking bomb them over there before they can fucking bomb us here. They hate us for freedom. I'm like, dude, none of those guys want that smoke. None of us.
So I have my analysis of the, like, who cares, like, who would care. But I'm interested to hear yours if you have it, Gary.
No, I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I feel for the dude's family and for, you know, anybody else that was, like, impacted by this kind of thing. But I don't know, man. So, like,
I mean, I'm going to kind of touch on something like that Shane just said. And I know we're at the end of the show, kind of don't want to get into this right
see you
now.
Next week, cliffhanger.
This is a teaser, because next month we are having Ashton Forbes on, thanks to Mike. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, but this is why I think it's important. I think the useful information was that he was like, hey, I was in Ukraine. I don't think he says he was in Ukraine, but I've done the math to figure out, like, what unit he was in. Okay. He was in Ukraine.
Matt Tardio said that they were both in Ukraine.
And, like, drone strikes, like, or drone tactics are being played out in real time in Ukraine right now. They're figuring out how to fight this war with drones. I think that he's accurate that China and the U.S., maybe some other countries, but possibly just those two, have a technology that basically warps these drones over, like, a population center, wherever they want. Like, you have all these FAA guidance. Okay. You have signals jamming capabilities. Okay. You don't have that if something pops over and just appears and stays there for 5-10 minutes and then can pop back out, you know, into this other dimension. Not, I don't want to say dimension, but basically it has already gone back to China or whatever other staging ground it likely came from. And both the United States and China have this capability. What that mean, like, forget about nukes. We've bypassed nukes. We can drop in 20 to 200 drones over a city and wipe it out, and they pop back out, and it happens in minutes. It's kind of a checkmate if that is true. Like, forget nukes. Nukes are not the problem. Drones with this new warp technology, gravitic propulsion system, that is the new threat. Like, that could be what we are living in. And he's trying to let us know, like, yo, tone things down, US and China, because, like, this is beyond nukes now. Like, you can just wipe it out and not leave a trace. That would be some scary shit.
And that's personally the opinion that I have. I think that like a lot of the other information that was provided in that email was to kind of like try and give credence to his concern and his particular opinion on the situation. For those that are curious, that don't really want to wait to listen to like our talk with Ashton Forbes, I've written a little bit about this. I've been kind of like passionate about this stuff for the last couple of days in particular. If you go to justhearmeout.substack.com, the last two articles I've written, I've been talking about this, particularly in the latest one that I put out, I think yesterday morning, was, a researcher that, has been working on the electrogravitic propulsion stuff. And I've provided quite a bit of information as far as like, she was disappeared under some interesting circumstances with a lot of events that she has documented that were very interesting, along with multiple others that worked in the industry. So like, I think it's very real. And I think that, cause like to your point, Jordan, he mentioned in that email, he's like, I'm concerned about mutually assured destruction between China and the US in particular. And to that point, 3 weeks before this happened, Dr. Stephen Greer had given a podcast stating that he had a number of Green Berets that were specifically going to be coming forward in the first half of January of 2025 talking about this stuff. So we have that to look forward to. That this might be related, it might not. But the other kind of controversial thing I wanted to like share with you guys, I think there's a plausibility that Matt Livelsberger is still alive. One of the main reasons being is that Jordan, when we were talking about it before, like we were on this podcast, he mentioned that he was trying to flee to Flagstaff or Mexico. Why would you mention you're trying to flee to any particular area if you're going to be doing something like this? They're going to go to both and make sure that like they catch you. So like that doesn't make sense.
This is, it's called an EPA. It's an, just completely blanked on the name, but, it's a plan of action for evasive plan of action, EPA. Yeah. So you have planned how you're going to get out of a country, like all the steps, but also like that involves deception tactics too. Like these guys are literally trained. We're trained anytime we go to a country. If things go south and you're relying on yourself, how do you get out of here? And so like this, and he's doing this in, so he's a 10th group guy. So that their area of operation is Europe. Like that is to figuring out how to evade through a heavily populated area, get on a plane and get back to the United States is not out of the realm of possibility.
Especially with all the tech that they have surveilling like all of Europe. But one other reason why I think he's still alive is those that have been down this rabbit hole like I have, Bob Lazar specifically mentioned that they used the airport at Las Vegas to fly into S4 and Area 51.
Yep.
And further to Jordan's point, Edward Snowden did this successfully and he didn't state where he was going for good reason. And he wasn't like a combat trained guy who was dealing with like getting shot at all times. So you think that Edward Snowden is going to know how to do this properly, but Matt Livelsberger is not. And he has combat experience. Like give me a goddamn break. Like, I'm sorry, but I do
kind of hold out hope that, you know, he's alive, obviously. I don't want somebody to be dead if they don't have to be, but
I think also for the implications
of what it means.
Yeah.
I think he got out through the Las Vegas airport. Cause like if he was connected into this network, Dr. Stephen Greer is talking about, Dr. Greer and his teams that he's been working with, they've been pretty tied in with very wealthy individuals that want this information to get out there as far as disclosure goes. I don't think it's that big of a leap to think that there was a private owner of a private jet at a private hangar at Las Vegas that had a flight ready to go. And he sent all this stuff out, got it taken care of, just ziplined over to the airport. And he was anywhere in the world within the next couple of hours.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's very possible.
Yep.
Mike, I'd love to read that stuff. You can post long form content on Nostr and I would zap you for it, but
I will do that as soon as we're done here.
All right. Parting thoughts, guys. We are a little bit over and we appreciate everybody being here. I'm sure we could keep doing this, especially after the holidays. Like to say anything before we get out of here?
Stay humble and stack sats.
I will say, keep working out. I haven't been very good about it with the holidays, but I had a 24-hour period where I still got in my leg day. I was awake for 24 hours, got my leg day in, and had to deal with the DMV all in that period. So if I can do it, you guys can do it.
That sounds like a lot of people's nightmare, Mike.
DMV.
All three nightmares together.
Yeah. Hey, all I want to end this on is 2025 is the year of greatness. Like, some weird things could happen. Things could go south. Things could go very north. Where are you going to end up at the end of it? Like, just choose greatness.
I love it. Good Lord. Guys, if you want to be part of this, bitcoinveterans.org, go over there, sign up. We'll get you into the chats. We'll get you spun up on Bitcoin and Nostr and anything else you want to be spun up on. And it's a great community. This, the best part of Bitcoin, I will continue to say it, is the community. And these individuals that are going out there, putting in their time, putting in their effort, putting in their sats now, and reinvesting into this community. Like, this is coming. The flywheel is happening. You better hold on to your butts, because 2025 is going to be that year that makes 2024 look like a little warm up. And for that, I'm excited. We need drastic change in this world, and we need decentralization, and we need everything we can do in terms of peer to peer without these crooked, corrupt people. And that's where Bitcoin and Nostr shine, freedom tech in general. There's going to be a lot happening. We've got some major announcements coming in 2025 for Bitcoin Veterans, and I am super excited about this. But we're just giddy as hell to have all of you guys out there. Gary, Jordan, Mike, I love doing this with you guys, man. And the fact that we're now into, I don't say our third year, but we're into year three. I guess we started in 2023. 2024 is gone. Now we're into 2025. It just gets more and more epic every year. But again, bitcoinveterans.org. Go out, open a Nostr account, start divorcing yourself from X, stack sats, divorce yourself from the hamster wheel, which is out there, man. And Gary,
on the stacking sats, the zap.stream, 20,000 sats from Dan on Nostr. Shout out to Dan. Legend, 20,000 sats to Bitcoin veterans.
Shout out,
direct donation to Bitcoin veterans during the stream. 11,000 sats from an Anon. And then another 2,000 sats from Trey. So shout out to those legends, dude, out there zapping.
Thanks, guys.
And showing the power of Nostr on this. We appreciate the support.
Killer. That's a great way to end the show. Bitcoin veterans, we are out. We will see you same time, 9 p.m. Eastern next Tuesday. Have a great week. See you then.